Welcome to Failure. I'm Ryan Kavanaugh. This is the place where, as they say, success has many fathers and failure has none. Well, failure has found a father.
And certainly when you've gotten through, John Lennon said something like that. Life is passes you by while you're busy doing other things, you know. certainly, you know, from attempting to commit suicide back then, I always swore that I was going to have the best life that I could make for myself after getting through that. And I had. I'd got two wonderful boys. I'd got, at that point, four grandchildren. And still a wife at that point. But I was determined to get through it and move on. And I was loving Idol. I was getting to see America. We were going to every single city. We were meeting great, talented people. Couldn't wait to get back, which I did. And when I got back, Simon Fuller said, "Why don't we do this for dance? You've done it for singing. Let's do it for dance." And I said, "That'll never work. There were no dancing shows on American television.
Right.
No one was really interested in dance. A bit like my own country of the UK, dancing for men had a stigma attached to it. If you were a dancer, you were obviously gay. And it put a lot of people off dancing. And I said, I don't see it working. He said, "Well, think about it. Think of trying to put together a format." I said, "All right." I didn't bother. And it was like 6 months later, we went out to Cabo. And Simon said, "I just want you to come out, spend a weekend here, and think about a dancing program." So I thought, well, I'd like the weekend in Cabo. That'll be nice. So I went down to the bottom of the garden. It was beautiful. He rented a great house. Took a bottle of Johnny Walker Black Label with me. Came back with half a bottle of Johnny Walker Black Label and the idea of a dance format. It wasn't called So You Think You Could Dance at that point. That came from probably one of the greatest executive producers I've worked with. Called Mike Darnell, who was at Fox, that worked really hard with us on American Idol. And he said, "Let's call it So You Think You Can Dance. Don't make it as difficult as you're making it with this whole judging system," which had based on the Olympic Games.
Right.
He said, "Just Idol was successful because it was simple. The most votes stayed on, the person with the least votes off. Just do it like that." And so, sure enough, So You Think You Can Dance was born. And again, thank goodness, successful. And it's just going into season 18 as we speak now. Unfortunately, my failure is they no longer want me as a judge on my own program.
When did that happen?
That happened last year.
So going back to the beginning of this, though, so you're at the top of the world. You go through a life-changing event. You're reevaluating everything. And you come out of the reevaluation, health scare, a life scare, but you get stronger from that. You come out and you take what most would argue you can't get more success than this, and you actually create more success through So You Think You Can Dance. And you change dancing for the whole world. Because as you said prior to that, you know, the idea of dancing on TV was like, there were stigmas with it. And no, if someone had pitched me that idea, I was, you know, in reality, is, you know, 45 shows, I would never think, or a dance show is going to work. And yet that didn't just work. It once again changed the face of television.
I felt the same thing. I didn't think it would work. So I didn't think voting would work on American Idol. I didn't think dance would work on television. So anything Simon Fuller says that I don't believe in is going to be a huge success.
So...
But what happened with dance, which I'm really, really happy with, is we saw so many kids that were thrown out of their homes by their father because they wanted to be a dancer. And after several years of it being out on the air, dads have been coming up and saying, "I didn't realize how athletic you needed to be to be a dancer. And I'm really supportive of my son now, and he's really good. And also they said to me, you can't mix street dancing with formally trained dancers. And I was determined to do that. They said, well, it's not fair because formally trained dancers have really worked hard at dancing. And I said, well, no, the street kids have worked harder probably because they're in their bedrooms articulating yep. every single joint to do what they do, Ooh. Not having the financial awareness to go and take lessons. They're now being given the opportunity of having lessons and learning about core right. and how to control their bodies even more. And they are so inventive and creative. And over the years, that's proven so good now because the dancers are doing triple tours and things like this that Nijinsky and Nureyev and Baryshnikov have never done a triple tour. That's jumping in the air and turning round
three times.
That's defying gravity.
Yeah, it sounds impossible.
It's like these great basketball players that actually jumped up and then just go that bit further.
Yeah.
That you go, how did that happen? It's incredible.
So that must be for you, because going back to your roots as a dancer, as a 10-year-old yeah. or 11-year-old, your dad and said, I want to dance. And, you know, as you said, he was a longshoreman. So it was kind of a you want to do what? And now you're giving the world a looking glass into a field that is a lot of failure. And, you know, you have to love it, because having been married to a professional ballerina, I know it's not for the money in dancing. There's almost no money in it. I think they were making $40,000 a year as professional dancers.
You have to love it.
You have to love it.
And you're turned down. Talk about failures.
Yep.
I mean, I don't look on being turned down. And I say this to kids all the time. You are not failing. You are not right for what the person that's auditioning you wants at this point. That's not your failure.
Right. But to a kid whose life is dancing, they're not doing it for the money. That is failing in their mind.
It shouldn't be, because that would make them stop. That is just, a stumbling block.
But isn't that, so that's kind of what this show is about, is it a stumbling block, or is it not that people who are successful at anything, dancing, singing, producing, movies, finance, they fail, they get up, they fail, they get up. Yeah. And that's what dancing is, I think, it's an ultimate example of that, because you're told all the time you're not good enough. And winning in dancing isn't like, oh, I'm going to be a famous singer and make $20 million a year. Winning in dancing is, maybe I'll be the prima ballerina and make $65,000
a year. It's just getting a job, Ryan. It's just getting a job.
Yeah.
In truth. And what's weird about it is the choreographer may love you for this particular job. Mm-hmm. And you go back to them and say, hi, how are you? And they say, fine. But you're not right for this job. And that's why I don't class it as a failure. It's you put yourself on the line all the time. And with dancers, it becomes so emotional. You're offering your soul up each time and being accepted or turned down. You can't class it as failure. Failing isn't failing in that sense. Failing is, and should never, you should never even class, I hate the word failure.
You hate our podcast.
It's a stupid word, because you're not failing. You haven't been successful. Not being successful is not failing. Failing is when you do something terrible or you give up. That's failing, if you give up. Ooh. And why would you ever give up?
Well, our quote here in the show is the Man in the Arena show, Roosevelt's Man in the Arena, which I don't know if you know in the quote, but he talks about, you know, really the more or less what he says is there's only two types of people. The man who errs short time and time again. He basically says who fails time and time again and yet never stops. And he kind of says, but it's better to be that man that has covered in dust and marred and sweat and have come short and tried time and time again and failed, than to be a cold and timid soul that knows neither the sweetness of victory or the darkness of defeat.
Many of those. It's the, the man that aims for 1,000 and gets 999 and fails, if you will, is far better off than the guy that aimed at 100 and succeeded in 100.
I think it was Edison, who we talked about this last time. He had a very famous quote, and I'll mess up on the numbers, but it was something like when he finally invented the light bulb, and he had spent years trying to do it. And they said, how does it feel to invent the light bulb? He said, I didn't invent the light bulb. I just showed you 9,999 ways not to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he literally spent, he had the exact number down too. I think it was like 9,876 ways not to do it.
So he never failed.
Right. But in his mind, he was saying, I did fail. I just failed 9,876 times.
No, he succeeded.
Right. But I think the difference in humanity is, do you give up or do you not give up? Well, and that's what the question is.
If he'd have given up,
yep,
we'd have never have had the light bulb.
Right.
And he would have failed.
Right.
He didn't fail.
Well, I guess it comes a question of what point he failed and failed and failed, but never stopped failing till he succeeded. That's the way I look at it.
Okay. I look on it that he didn't fail.
It's a, you know, that we're saying one and the same thing. So let me ask you. So
it's a totally different mental attitude.
Well, you know, to me, I think the reason we're using the word failure is, and the reason we focus on failure is, a lot of people are just so disheartened with the world today, right? And it's so, everything's all about Instagram and look how pretty this person is and all the influencers are so amazing and, you know, oh, they're rich and famous and everything's great and look, everybody's life is perfect. Like, I'm sure coming on this show, most people assume, oh, you know, Nigel, he's British and dresses well and did an American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance and what a privileged guy who just had tons of success, right? And now after hearing this, they are like, wow, he... Look at these trials and tribulations. And most people don't have that stamina to just not give up and not give in, right? And just fight through it. And I think part of this is for those people who are just at that brink where they're about to give up and they feel like they're a failure. Maybe they haven't failed, but they feel like they're a failure. They've been told they're a failure.
Well, that's why I say don't use the word failure until you give up.
Right. Well, this is for those people.
You can be unsuccessful.
Right. I agree with you, but this was really, there's so many people out there who are on that brink because the world is so hard today.
And if they give up, they're a failure.
Correct. And so part of this is that person who's right about to do it, and they're like, ooh, this is interesting. What's this thing about failure? Because they feel like they're about to be that. And I want them to hear this and use these stories to say,
let me tell you, I'm not giving up. Okay, let me tell you, this is not a joke. This is a really interesting story that I heard. A little boy was auditioning in his school play for a number of parts.
Right.
And his mum was scared stiff because he wasn't a particularly talented little boy.
Right.
And she knew he wasn't really going to be successful.
Right.
Not that he was going to be a failure.
Right.
He wasn't going to be successful. And she was scared about picking him up that day at school because she knew he was going to be really upset. She drives up to the school. He comes out of the school, bouncing, happy, cheerful. And she said, oh, what happened? He said, I got the part of sitting in the audience and applauding and cheering.
That's great.
And she said, fabulous. And he was so happy because he'd been given a part.
Right. No, it's all perspective.
It's perspective.
And presentation.
Absolutely.
I don't disagree, and that's part of what this show is to give people the perspective of like, oh, wow, I get to see this from Nigel's eyes, you know, where most people look and go, oh, it's unobtainable, it's so successful. And yet the difference between success and failure is this fine, fine line.
Well, I would have been a failure if I'd have succeeded when I was 21 years of age.
Yep. And you would have been a failure.
There wouldn't have been 5 beautiful grandchildren on this planet, 2 lovely sons. You may never have seen American Idol. Some of you might be saying, thank God.
You never would have seen So You Think You Can Dance.
No, or lots of other things or programs or anything that I've touched in my life.
Let me ask you a question.
So that's a failure. That would have been a failure. If I'd have been successful, I'd have been a failure.
I want to come back to that because I want to recap the failures. But there's something that's recently happened. So you create this just, again, incredible show. You've now redefined the industry again with So You Think You Can Dance. And you you're, it's season 18 now, you said? Mm. So something happens in season 16?
No, season 17, I wasn't asked to be a judge anymore.
But it's your show.
Yeah.
And they, so tell us about that, because that's got to be hard.
Well, I was just told basically, although it's my format, my creation, I don't own the show.
Right, because the network pays for it, so they own it always, and every show.
So I was told they wanted to be more diverse with the judges. And I said, you can't get more diverse than an old English, white, heterosexual, multimillionaire talking about it. That's surely down into 1%.
Did you actually say that to them? And they probably didn't laugh at it.
They didn't laugh.
No. I think it's hilarious. So that must have felt like total shit.
Well, it wasn't, yeah.
I mean, it's your show. I get it. You don't own it because nobody owns a show but the network.
It was, for me, a little worse than that. The person that they chose to replace me was then fired. And the person that then replaced that person didn't really come from a dance background and was known as a dance enthusiast. So the whole thing for me with So You Think You Can Dance and judging was not just about judging how they dance now, but how to help them improve, how to help them get better.
That kind of got lost with this new judge.
It sort of got, the whole ethos got lost a little bit, because So You Think You Can Dance was not just about entertainment, it was about being educational with it. I was always insistent that if somebody did a pirouette, that maybe some of the public didn't know what a pirouette was. So I would get the judges to say, when you did your pirouette, those beautiful spins, when you did that jeté, how you leapt into the air. So you were educating in a way that wasn't looking down on your audience.
Right.
And it was really important to me that we were dealing with major social issues as well. They went into homophobia. They went into addiction. These brilliant choreographers had a minute and 45 seconds to get over these incredible issues that you would not normally be talking about in primetime television entertainment program. So it was really important that dance became something more than dance. This wasn't a dance show. And American Idol wasn't a singing show. It was about everything that I said I learned. It was about people and about issues. And that came from being not a failure, but unsuccessful with the program.
You know, I would say, you know, it goes to the saying of you haven't tried if you haven't failed. But you know, it's the definition of failure. But so you're now, it's 18 years running. They take you off your own show, which obviously has got to be a punch in the gut. You know,
I felt like a failure. No, I didn't mean that. Yes.
But it sounds like what you're more disappointed about, I would say, is that you feel like you're kind of failing. They're failing the dance world because they took out you, this, as you said, wasn't a dance show. It was a human show that used dance and used that world to help people mentally and with all kinds of issues that they didn't prior have a platform for that you gave them. And you feel a little bit like that's being lost now in the format.
Yeah, I hope it won't be. I haven't seen where the format is going this year yet. I'm just happy, to be frank with you, that dance is still being represented on television. It is with Dancing with the Stars, thank goodness. And hopefully with So You Think You Can Dance. So I'll always support it from that point of view.
And is there anything you want to share about how you feel right now about that show? Because it's kind of rough and raw and new. It's, you know, you said it was a season old that this happened. What would you share as a life lesson from that if you could?
I was extremely jealous that I was sitting at home and not being there. And especially as a dear friend was there, Twitch, who then a couple of months later after this program took his own life. And then you say, I'm so happy it didn't happen to me. that I was unsuccessful at it, because I think suicide is, we need to take much better care of people, because they only see the dark side of life. Like failure is a dark side of life. Unsuccessful is lighter. And consequently, that's why I say I'll always err towards being unsuccessful. And we need to take greater care and let people know that we care for them. Well, and that they are not alone, and they don't have all of the issues and pressures that they think they have on them.
That's why, you know, Nigel, we, you know, not to get too deep on it, but why we use failure, because, you know, people are scared to say I failed. People are scared to admit they failed. And so, yes, it's much easier to say, well, I was unsuccessful at that. But the reality is, coming, I remember when Relativity, the studio that I had built from scratch, 15 years running, when this hostile takeover happened, and I had to put it into a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and I was fighting for 2 years to get it back. And one of the weapons hedge funds use are press, and they have big, deep pockets. These are $60 billion hedge funds with very deep press connections. And every day, the same story, negative story, was being written about me because they wanted to take power away from me being able to fight them in court. So much so that I made a joke on the last podcast we did that wasn't a joke. Mel Gibson actually called me and said, "You're getting worse press than I did. And I don't even know what you did, but build a multi-billion dollar business that everybody wants to steal." And it was the same story over and over. And I remember the feeling for about a year, because this was a year in court. Every morning I woke up, I didn't want to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. I had the covers here. I woke up with that pit in my stomach. It was like, but I forced myself to. And it was like,
did you have friends that rallied around you?
Very few. And it's interesting. I looked at the people who rallied around me that I expected not to.
Right.
And the people who didn't that I expected to. And it was a very interesting life lesson. And it's changed my whole perspective on who I surround myself with now.
Yeah.
I mean, as you know, we spend a lot of social time together, like family, friends, like it's interesting when you really learn who cares, you know, and why they're there. But more important than that was just that feeling that I remember thinking, this is the worst feeling. This is worse than physical pain, and worse than any physical pain I could possibly imagine. And yet, when I look back at what I felt so bad about, like, I think, what was it I felt so bad about? Yeah. Was it that some newspaper somewhere was writing about me in Hollywood, and oh no, I'd only made this much money, and now I was gonna have to fight in bankruptcy court to try and get this company back that frankly I just could walk away from anyway? And, you know, it wasn't about my health, and it wasn't about my kids' health, and it wasn't about, like, I wasn't going homeless. And yet it felt like the world was ending to me. And I think back now and go, those things that I thought were so important were so unimportant. And I spent so much time, like, I mean, I didn't per se attempt to commit suicide, but I was like in my head going like, I don't know if I want to live. And now I look back and I'm like, it's the stupidest thing I could have ever felt. Like these fake people. And that's the only people that like really were reading this stuff or even cared to read it, right? Are fake people who had time enough to read gossip, basically. And I have two beautiful children and a beautiful family and great friends. And like, that's life. But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I say it's failure, because that I woke up every day feeling like a failure. I didn't say I failed, but I felt like a failure.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Straight question. Ryan Kavanaugh. Are you a failure?
No, I am not a failure, but I have failed.
Have you been unsuccessful?
Yes, but I've also failed a million times. So what we say is success has many fathers and failure has none. And this show is a place where failure has a father. And
success,
I'm here.
We have success as many parents, failure as an orphan is what.
Right,
in
so
England,
here, well, the whole point of failure, our show is,
to show people
failure has a home.
But to show people also that they're not failures.
Right.
They may have been unsuccessful, but you are not a failure until the end of your life.
Correct. That's the point of this, is people who think they might be failing or are worried they're failing, they need to understand it's your choice to stand up again. And by the way,
there are many doors that open in your life.
Correct.
Many doors. And I found that, you know, even if you're not sure that you're capable of going through that door, go through it. and then find out you're incapable of doing something, but go through it, because then you the luck kicks in. Then the universe kicks in and helps you. And that's what's really interesting. Your life can change in many directions.
So I always say, if you poke a hole, and a big enough hole that just a little light can come through, then the universe will do the rest.
Yeah.
But you got to poke that hole. And in every way, you poke as many holes as you can. You know,
but there's something I've always said, and with performers as well.
Yeah.
When kids come and audition, we've all got a little light inside us. And I don't know where the switch is. You've got to find your own.
Yep.
But the light comes on, and through your eyes and through your performance and everything, that light comes on, or it doesn't.
Yep.
And it's there. That switch is there. And so many people don't find that switch. That's the first thing you need to do.
Yep.
Come alive within yourself.
It's almost like you connect to an energy.
Yes.
That I don't know how to explain it, because I feel it in business sometimes.
It's
I feel
in the
it
eyes
in the
as
speech.
Well.
I feel it in
eyes.
Yeah. You can see it.
Yeah.
Like, you've connected to this whatever energy field, or you haven't.
Yeah.
And if you connect, whether it's dancing, singing, giving a talk, business,
just
negotiating,
life. Just
it's just life.
Life.
You're that light is going to come in.
Yeah.
Right. And
I think it's in there, you see. I don't think people don't realize that it's there, and they don't let it out.
But, you know, it's interesting, because it goes back to what you were talking about with me. I look at what happened with my studio after 15 years and being front page every day, most powerful man in Hollywood, you know, billion-dollar producer, showman of the year, to like this every day being beat up and like, this guy's terrible, blah, blah. And I look and I think, so had that continued, you know, I would have been still on a plane 278 days a year, in China for half the year, in India for other parts, in speeches, on meetings, home at, you know, 8 p.m. and back at work at 5 a.m. And instead, now, I'm home for dinner, as you know, with my kids every night.
Yeah.
I spend my time with my parents and my close friends. I don't, you
know. How many wives?
A number. I've kind of lost count, but they're all friends.
Yes.
As you know, they come for dinner all the time together.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have had that. And to me, my most successful thing, as you feel the same, is my children. And like, I look and go, how could I ever?
You know, but my two boys fell out very, very badly a number of years ago, for about 3 years. And I tried to bring them back together. And I started to fall out with them because I was trying to bring them together and they didn't want it. And I was given the wonderful honor of getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I was there, if you remember.
And I said to my boys, I need a speech. Somebody needs to speak about me. I would like the pair of you to write something and be there for me and do it. They got together to write the speech, which was pretty nasty, you know.
It was so funny. I remember they got your humor.
They were a little cruel to me. It brought them together.
Yeah.
And they are still great friends now, and great siblings, and they love each other. And that meant more to me on that day than a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, because you suddenly get your priorities right.
Yep.
Every now and again. And that's the big thing about being unsuccessful. When you sit down and work out, why was I unsuccessful? And you realize there's no common sense involved in what you did, or you got focused in the wrong area. And you just work out for yourself so that it doesn't happen again.
Oh yeah, I always say make mistakes, just don't make the same mistake. Because if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying.
Yeah.
Like we're all, I mean, you and I have a show together right now, so you think you can fight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're honing it, and I think it's going to be a huge show, right? But we got to break some eggs making it, right? It's just the way it goes. It's the same as any other show or any other field, or like you said, your family got brought together in a very unique way. You, most people go, you got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Like, that's incredible. Like, by the way, congratulations again.
Oh, thank you.
Like, I don't know how many there are, but it's obviously an incredible honor. But what you remember is that brought your kids back together.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I've gotten in my life is, you know, it's thinking about kids, parents, friends. So tell me, if you had to kind of look back on your life now, and obviously you got a lot more to go, and hopefully the next chapter will be our show. What's
it called again?
So You Think You Can Fight.
There you go. Remember that.
You heard it here, and it will be a big show.
So you think you can fight or fart your way to success?
Maybe we should change it to fart your way to success. You know, you were 21. You said you tried to kill yourself. You failed at that. And had that not happened, that changed your whole life revelation and where you were going. You know, went and failed at a show, which you thought was going to be the pinnacle, the top of your life. And that gave you all the things that you then later used to make American Idol. And so you think you can dance. You had a heart attack and, you know, the appendix
exploded
and your wife left.
Peritonitis.
You were going through, you know, basically people thought you thought you might be dying. And that led you to a whole life revelation of focusing on your kids more and kind of also just going back to realizing how much you loved what you were doing.
Yeah.
And what would you say to the world? And like they bring up in this, so many people today feel like they're failing. So many people feel like they can't get back up. You know, what life advice would you give based on that?
It's a tough one to give anybody advice, to be honest with you, in any situation, apart from saying there is no failure while you are still alive. There is no failure. There is people being unsuccessful and maybe yourself being unsuccessful, but that's not a failure. Find some other avenue. There are many roads that lead to Rome, they used to say. And there are many roads that lead to success. So because that road didn't work for you, try another road, another avenue. That everybody has a talent that sometimes they don't discover. I'd love to know who the parent was that gave their son, Michelangelo, a hammer and a chisel and said, go and knock something up. Who would have dreamt that this kid could go out there and create the beauty that he eventually did with a hammer and a chisel and a block of marble? Who knows what you are capable of? Because sometimes you don't know what you're capable of. I, as a tap dancer out of Liverpool, had no idea I was capable of achieving what I've achieved. And even at 21, when I thought, that's it, I'm a failure. Thank goodness I failed at that. Because if I hadn't have done, certainly my family would be in a different place. They wouldn't be here. That's what would have happened to them. So I'm really grateful that something inside of me kept me going. And you can always find something inside of yourselves that will just help you move on. Failure is just a bad word. I just dislike the word failure. Love this podcast. Hate the word failure.
It's okay. Listen, that's part of what we're here for is to embrace / hate. I mean, when I say it, it's embrace the fact that you're going to trip and trip. Call it failure or say, I'm never going to fail. But whatever you call it.
You're always going to fail.
Right.
You're always going to be.
But you're not a failure.
You're always going to be unsuccessful.
Yep.
But you do not have to be a failure.
You think we should change that? We were originally going to call it Dare to Fail.
No.
You like the name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Failure is perfect.
Okay.
Just deny it.
Yeah.
And deny it in yourself.
But here's where I'll deny it is there's so many points in my life.
Are you a failure now?
No, but there's so many points where I thought I was. If you had asked me at certain points, I'd say, yes, right now I'm a failure.
Right.
But not right now because I look back.
So you would have been wrong.
You're right.
Right.
But that's the point is looking back and saying, I didn't fail. Life gave me that because I needed it to get to the next step of where I was going to be. I never knew what that was going to be.
I think that's the most important thing. And the best advice you can give to anybody is that there are other avenues. It's because you've been unsuccessful at this one thing doesn't mean you're going to be unsuccessful at that or that or that or that. And that's where we've been successful. When we've been unsuccessful, we've moved on to success. Yeah. And that's all you can ever teach anybody is that the universe provides, even when you're not expecting it. It provides.
As long as you push forward. it will do the rest, right? And you sometimes in the darkest moment, you think, why did that happen? It's so bad. And then you just got to move forward and take that next step. Yeah. And you'll realize at some point that had to happen.
Don't expect things to happen for you. No. You make things happen. Find that light switch, turn it on. The magic is inside each and every one of us. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the magic inside us.
Coming from the guy who's arguably made more stars than anybody in this world. Dancers, singers.
I think God did that.
Now you're getting into religion.
Depends which God you're talking about.
Well, Nigel, it's been such a pleasure having you, and I hope you'll come back. And, you know, maybe even if we'll do a show where we can let the audience send in questions, because I'm sure, based on this, that people are going to want to know more. You know, you've really given people an insight into a world that I think so many don't see, and make it relatable. And I really would hope that, I think audience members would want to send in questions for you, and we can ask them.
And keep a good sense of humor.
Always.
Good sense of humor for me is just as important as, you know, people say, keep love in your heart. Keep a good sense of humor.
All right, it's a wrap.
Well, thank you, everybody.
I thank you.
Thank you.